If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at InnovativeWellness.Center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. InnovativeWellness.Center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. InnovativeWellness.Center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And Mike, we are just coming off the last 2 weeks of what I thought was a very spectacular Olympic Games.
Loved it. It was absolutely fantastic. I thought the French did a really good job with some unique settings. And I loved it.
Yeah, I did too. And I thought from the opening ceremonies to the closing, where you hand off the torch, and it was Mayor Bass and Simone Biles. And the one that caught me by surprise was Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, man. What a treasure. 62 years old, Tom Cruise. Riding motorcycles.
I don't know how he got that. He had to negotiate something for that one, I got to tell you. Anyway, Major League Baseball is, since we enlarged the bases in the last couple of years, baseball is on a tear stealing bases. We have a possibility of stealing 3,500 bases this year, which is a 41% increase over the previous year, and pretty close to an all-time record that was set back in 1987.
So do you lay that at the feet of the larger bases?
I think it's a combination of the bases. I think that that mitt glove that Larry Boa talked about, and it give you some extra inches. It's definitely a game of inches, and I think that it's playing out like I thought it would, which is, you have this bang bang play at all these bases, and knowing that it's a game of inches, when now you're giving yourself more of an opportunity to perform and do better, then it's gonna change your thoughts on it, and it has.
Well, one thing that you were known for, Penguin, is your fleet of foot on
exactly.
The base path. I mean, would you have a career stolen bases?
Oh, what was it, in the neighborhood of 21 or 22, something like that?
It's only thousand behind Rick Anderson.
But hey, listen, they didn't get Davey Lopes to hit home runs. They didn't get Maury Wills to hit home runs, right?
That is true.
The way I see it.
That is true. Everybody's got their role.
Yeah, for sure. College football is coming upon us quickly, and the latest poll has powerhouses Georgia, Ohio State, and Oregon at the top three. Oregon joining the Big Ten for the first time, so I'm interested to see how the other schools do in now an 18-team league in the Big 12, or excuse me, the Big Ten. And surprised to see Georgia back up there, but they've always been loaded. And Alabama is right around the corner at number five. And we'll be right back with Olympic recaps right after this message. And welcome to the Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. Brad, what's on the agenda today?
Well, hey, Ron. We've been talking for the last couple of weeks about risk and markets, and they're kind of been high, and they've been bouncing around a bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about the sequence of returns risk and what that means to investors. And if you could pop up that first slide that goes through the accumulation phase, what you're going to see here is when it begins, it's an 8% average rate of return. That yellow line is just a straight average rate of return. That top dark blue line is increasing the 8% average rate of return with losses towards the end of the time period. And that lower line is losses at the beginning of the period. It's the same exact returns, only instead of having the losses at the end, which is the dark blue line, the light blue line shows the losses at the beginning. And it's interesting, during the accumulation phase, Ron, you'll see that you're going to end up with the same dollar amount no matter what. So it really doesn't matter what order the returns come when you're saving for your retirement. You're going to end up with the same amount of money. Now let's shift gears and talk about distribution phase, when people are turning on their money and starting to take money out of their portfolio. That prior slide, that 8% average rate of return was $100,000 over 25 years, and the numbers ended up at $549,101. So we're starting at retirement at $549,101 with an 8% average rate of return, showing the same exact returns that we had before. In the same order, first, we're going to look at that top green line shows the losses towards the end, and the bottom line shows the losses at the beginning of the time period. The difference is that I'm taking a 5% distribution rate increased by 3% inflation per year. What this shows you is that when you're taking money out of a portfolio, the sequence that you have returns has real world consequences for the amount of money you will have. This clearly shows that, well, you can't see it, it's probably pretty small there, but in year 13, you run out of money if you have early losses. If your losses are later, this is hard to see it, but it shows 1.7 million. Now, this is just a hypothetical, illustration. It's not representative of any investment, but it does show the concept that you've got to be careful. Anyway, that's the tip for today. Let's look at what the Oracle of Omaha says about this kind of stuff. And he says, rule number one, don't lose money. And rule number two, don't forget rule number one. Anyway. Anyway, have a great day.
Thanks for the advice, Brad.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we have returned, and we're raring to go to talk about the Olympics and all the great performances that we had over the past couple of weeks. But first, we have this episode that is brought to you by Melissa's Produce. And please use my VIP code, RONSAY, when checking out at melissas.com. There were so many, many great performances. The team, the USA team, this might have been their greatest Olympic performance. They won 126 total medals, 40 gold, 44 silver, 42 bronze. That's pretty evened out. And China tied us for the most golds. And, of course, most of those coming in those events that are taekwondo, ping pong. I loved the ping pong.
It's so exciting.
Thought, oh, my God. These guys were returning shots from a block away. You know, and the speed, the coordination, how they hold these rackets, completely different than anything I ever saw.
The spin they put on it, too.
Yeah, just amazing competition. Really diehard fans. I thought it was really pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I got to watch some ping pong, and right after that, also, they broadcast the badminton, which was equally as impressive.
Yes.
Because they play like ping pong, like Olympic style, where you're moving all over the place, but a little bigger court.
Yes, that is a tough sport, too. I was amazed at the athleticism. It's all very, very calculated out. They hit the dog out of that what do they call that thing? Do you know?
I do know what they call it.
It's an eye something, isn't it?
It's a shuttlecock, Ron.
Shuttlecock. There you go. I knew that I was close.
That's a shuttlecock, folks.
But yeah, I mean, that is a very, very competitive sport. I enjoyed watching that. You know, they did have breakdancing.
Yeah.
And I think that breakdancing is probably on its way out.
I think so, too. I think so as well. And I want to give a special shout out and kudos to NBC for really pulling this off very, very nicely. Not only the broadcasts look great, but their coverage on Peacock, which allowed you to actually watch on demand. And so this year, you know, because they usually relegate some of the more niche sports to super late at night.
Yeah.
And now with the on-demand function, you can watch some of these wacky sports, you know, at your leisure.
I had a great time. Going through, scrolling through Peacock, looking for events that I could go and get a replay of. And I thought that that was so cool that you didn't have to be in front of the TV. They could and just about any event is taped, right? It has its own little theater. And all the different venues throughout Paris, you know, it wasn't like it's right next door to each other, you know. So the I thought that the people who did the work for the Olympics, all the people that they hired to referee and be a part of these games, did an incredible job.
That's one thing I never really considered, is the amount of personnel that's required to do these from a media perspective, but also for a competition perspective. Because you have to go find like a judo judge. You have to go find yes. somebody that's going to officiate all these, what's like a 210 different events. And then they not only that, they have to find commentators who are knowledgeable about those events themselves to speak intelligently about it.
It is a monumental job. And for those who did it, congratulations. You know, when I look down at the track and field in particular, when you had these events happening back to back, and, you know, when it got down near the finals where you've got a big event, big event, big event, like four big events, you know, at the end of the second week. And I think there was one event and then it changed into the 400 meter hurdles. And before you know it, you know, it was like set up and ready to go. And that is timing. I mean, that, it was. I just thought it was just an incredible, incredible performance.
Also, I didn't feel overexploited to where the ad breaks were far too long as they've been in previous years. It seems like there was a lot of fan service here where they didn't want to get you with like – and also – there wasn't like 45-minute human interest pieces. They kept them about 15, 10 minutes, and I thought those were very, very well produced as well.
Yeah, and I was glad that that did not dominate some of the viewing time, because you could go over to, say, Peacock, you know, and pick up the taped version of it, and I enjoyed doing that more. You know, I wanted to be kind of in the moment. You know, I wanted to watch it happen, and then, you know, hey, there's a 500 meter steeplechase. You know, it's really going to be pretty cool. There's a lot of people in it, and I want to see it, but I'm going to pick it up a little bit later.
Also, the Metal Zone on Peacock as well, similar to what the Red Zone is on the NFL Network. So you didn't have to watch, you know, all 26 miles of the marathon. You can actually just watch that last lap.
Yeah. So I think they really did a great job. It's nice to know that that we have the ability to accommodate the entire world. I mean, think of the billions of viewers that watch the Olympics. And, you know, you think about being in that that big stadium, which I think the track and field was like 75,000 or something. And then the basketball players even said, you know, it was fantastic. 35,000 seat stadium. I don't know of anyone in the country that's got an arena that's big, professional or otherwise.
And it sold out every day too, every night for every game. And, you know, once again, those Team USA victories were absolutely compelling. You and I are actually watching the Serbia game live as we were taping, trying to hide our emotions. And then, you know, of course, the gold medal game against France, and Wemby was great in that game. But then Steph Curry.
Oh, man, what a show he put on. He almost had you in tears. It was almost so perfect. I mean, here it is. He's lighting it up down the stretch. And every time, you know, they're trying to go to him. And then there was a time where they reversed the ball because he got stuck and it was down the stretch. And they reversed it and he came back and he was in that slot that was open and he drills another three. And then, of course, that miraculous double team. That he threw it up and both Durant and
LeBron on the left side.
On the other side of the court, just kind of shaking their head saying, oh, my God, what did he just do? But it was fantastic. And Wemby was great. You look at his line, he had like 26 points, 9 rebounds, 4 or 5 assists. I don't know how many blocks. Kid's what, 19
exactly.
still?
Yeah, he's the future right there.
Yeah. And kudos to France. What a great basketball game they played. And not only that, France women came within inches of tying the U.S. women. And I had seen Ann Myers Drysdale over the weekend, and she had said to me that the U.S. women are going to win this easy. And it just goes to show you that, you know, when it comes down to the Olympics, Don't take it for granted. Go get it. And what a fabulous game that was. Yeah. 1 point game right down to the end.
And you can see France, the host nation, 64 total medals, 16 gold. Yeah, I mean,
they did terrific.
They were feeling the home cooking, and you know, they wanted to perform for their countrymates, and they did. Almost eked out victories not only for the men but also the women too.
Oh yeah, you know, I mean, I believe that it was stated that the women. The U.S. women won 65% of the gold medals. What a fantastic contribution to the team that you made. Prop 9, you said congratulations.
Yeah, Title 9. I mean, I mean, just the amount of, you know, of female athletics, you know, of competition, of different sports being available to women, both, you know, as youth and as adults, I think is a testament to the kind of equality that we have here in this country.
Well, I do. And I think it's great. And I applaud it. You know, we are a nation that basically lives off sports. You know, 24 hours a day, we got to have some kind of a sporting event to keep us going and entertain us. But these Olympics here, not only did the U.S. perform extremely well, but it was incredibly entertaining. And we've got much more to talk about as far as recapping the Olympics when we return. We'll see about that right after this.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we're back. We'll see about that. And we are continuing our talk about the incredible Olympic Games coming from Paris, France, and a number of notable world records, incredible individual performances. The one that sticks out in my mind that really kind of blew me away over all the other ones was the pole vault. You know, Mondo Duplantis, a kid out of LSU, ends up, you know, going back to his home country in France. And he started the season breaking his own pole vault world record in the first event. He goes to the Olympics as the favorite. He's the Olympic defending champion. And he gets into first place. He's got the medal. And then he decides that he's going to raise the bar. And he waits, what was it, 1 hour before he decided to make his last and final attempt at the world's record?
Yeah.
Nobody went home disappointed.
No, sure not. 20 and a half feet.
Unbelievable.
20 and a half feet. Yeah. It's two stories right there.
Yeah. He was clearing the distances of the jump with ease. He didn't even start the competition. You know, you have a chance to sit out or buy or take a, you know, pass or whatever. But he was clean, and then he got to that height. But, I mean, it was like this is a one-man event right now, you know.
Well, he's broken the world record 9 times over his career, which is absolutely
amazing. And he's, what, 24 years old?
Oh, he's got a couple more left in him.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And, you know, he's got that length. He's got the attitude for it. Certainly has the confidence.
Technique as well.
Yeah, he looks that was pretty legit. I've ranked that as one of the best performances during the Olympics.
Absolutely. And also Cole Hawker and the 1500, the men's 1500 meters, which is a grueling race. New world record in that 1500 meters with a time of 3:27.65.
And he beat the two favorites, Ingebrigtsen and Kerr.
Yeah.
And they had some kind of a feud that kind of took most of the attention. And Cole Hawker, I remember when he was running in the qualifying events in Eugene, Oregon, and he came from behind and won that event as well. He kind of established himself as you need to look out for this guy.
He's in this world record performance as well. He came from fifth to first in the final stretch. And so he's like one of those racehorses that, you know, you're like, no. Yeah. Ah, I'm in the money.
Yeah. You know, he had that strained effort coming down the stretch, similar to the young man who, Quincy Hall, who won the 400. And he was struggling the entire last 20 meters, and was able to stretch it out.
What do you think that is? Do you think that that strategy where they're saving themselves for that final leg, or do you think it's like some, like they get just hit by this surge of adrenaline that they need to win, that they must compete, that pushes them through the finish line?
Well, you know, there are people that have this fortitude, you know, it's hard to tell, but I just felt that some of these other guys just kind of ran out of gas too at the right time. It was just an amazing performance. I did not think that I thought he was struggling so hard that he wasn't going to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah.
And, wow. All of these races, how many races did you see that came down to a lean, you know, the 100 meters, was decided. We had 8 runners, and the difference between first and last was 0.12.
Which is 0.12. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
It's 9.79, and the last place finisher was 9.91. Is that 0.12? 1.12?
Yeah.
1.12. My mistake. But anyway, that's like an arm's length. You stick out your arm, and everybody is somewhere in between that.
Yeah.
I have never seen a race a speed race like that.
That competitive.
That was, you know, that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. The 200, you saw a different race there too. The 400, not the 400. Yes, the 200 with the guy from Botswana.
Yeah.
Whose entire nation stood up for him when he went home. I thought that was one of the coolest things that I had seen. He's the fifth fastest person all time. I don't know if running on COVID would have made a difference or not. this guy ran the fifth fastest time ever in 19.46.
Yeah.
And the only guys that have run faster than that, Usain Bolt, I think, ran faster than that four times. And there's only been seven faster times, but five individuals.
Yeah. That was also great, too, as you mentioned, Botswana, is that it's so nice when you see these smaller nations, you know, send athletes to the Olympics and they're successful.
And this guy was fabulous, too. I think he was third or fourth in the 100? And then he won the 200. Yeah. How about the ladies' 400-meter hurdles?
Oh, that was yes.
Sarah McLachlan, Lenore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Laborne.
World records, 3 minutes and 7 seconds. That's for the mixed relay. But, yes, the hurdles were just amazing. And
very hyped event, too, because the girl from Netherlands, Bol, Femke Bol, was having – you know, a real good qualifying time. Plus, she ran that girl down in the relays.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Oh, yeah. That was like one of the very first events. Yeah.
Yeah. That caught my attention and said, boy, she better be ready to run because this girl is peaking at the right time. And of course, Sarah McLachlan, Laborne, set a world record and pretty much ran away with the event.
Yeah.
And she set that record like six times now. It's unbelievable. What an incredible athlete.
Also, the swimming was amazing as well. Bobby Fink, friend of the show, he broke a longstanding world record in the men's 1500 freestyle.
Yes.
Surpassing his own previous record set in the London Olympics, making it another historic win for Team USA.
Yeah. And Katie Ledecky continues to be the queen of swimming. What an incredible performance of all the Olympics that she has had. And, of course, she's now, you know, the elder statesman. But she has continued to perform. And she's got, I don't know, she's got 15 medals of all sorts, I think, something like that, over 10.
Yeah.
Of course, Michael Phelps has, what, 23?
The most, 22, yeah.
And you know, they are in consideration for being, you know, the greatest, you know, Olympic athletes because of the number of times you won, but they've had more opportunities too. But it's pretty hard to argue who's the best lady swimmer and who's the best men's swimmer.
And it seems that Maryland right now, because Katie Ledecky's from Maryland, from the D.C. area, and also Pat Forty's daughter as well, they all train and live and grew up around the Maryland area and then went to Stanford. And there's several girls on the USA swimming team that there's this pipeline from Maryland to Stanford to the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, they've been very successful, and our swimming has been absolutely terrific. You know, there were plenty of winners outside of that too. They were all spectacular.
I was really surprised to see how competitive China was in the swimming.
Yeah.
It seems that China has really, I mean, as the population grows and as the Chinese middle class grows as well, you're seeing them far more competitive in some of these individual events. And so that was really interesting to see.
You know, other notable swimmers, you know, Caleb Drexel, you know, did extremely well. A gold in the 100 butterfly. Was always, you know, a force for the U.S. swimming team. Ryan Crouser.
Yeah.
Ryan Crouser. Wow. Yeah. Three-time Olympic gold medalist and just seems to be like at the peak of his performance, you know. This guy throws, I mean, it's a 16-pound ball.
Yeah. You know? As someone that did shot put, you know, in my high school career, that takes a special place in my heart. So that and the hammer throw, the discus and the javelin.
The guy from the hammer, through the hammer. He's the world record holder.
Yeah.
And he's got the right body for it. You know, he's got some height. He's not the bulky guy. But he had great leverage. And just amazing to see him throw. He won that on the very first throw, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. The amount of torque you can see going through his body.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just strength. It's also a lot of technique with those guys.
Yeah, hammer is very difficult. And, you know, of course, they have you throw between these two nets, right? And you got to be perfect when you let that thing go.
Yeah.
And the lady, too.
Oh, she was.
Also Canadian.
Yes.
Cal Berkeley girl.
Oh, very nice. Go Bears. Yeah. All right.
So we kind of snuck in there a little bit, but I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. And the discus. How hard is it to throw that thing? And I've always been curious as to, you know, when you do the metrics and stuff, you know, you try to get this thing to flatten out.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll just kind of crease through the air. But it seems like it always gets up there and there's just a little bit of a fade to it. But I'm sure they've done all the studies on how to throw it better. But the javelin, too. My God, the javelin.
I love – and it's just also watching those events, discus, javelins, and wrestling as well. Is like these are the same sports that they were doing like in the first Olympics in ancient Greece. And it's still – not a lot has changed, but it's still a pretty amazing event.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty exciting because, you know, when I was a kid, I tried to, do all those things too. You know, I wanted to run the hurdles. I wanted to throw the shot put. You know, I wanted a long jump. I wanted a high jump. And I think my best high jump was like 5'4". Yeah, that was my best. Yeah, not on the Olympic qualifier. No, not by a long stretch. Anyway, we're going to be back with more about the Olympics right after this.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay. Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right. Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay. No worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
And here's the pitch.
Want to score some runs with your family? How about an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night vacation for 2 adults and 2 children at the Ocean Spa Hotel in Cancun for only $699? Includes airport pickup, hotel, and all food and drinks, including alcohol. And you can travel anytime in the next 12 months with no blackout dates. So visit CancunEscapes.com/radio to book a family vacation for 4 for only $699.
Going gone with CancunEscapes.com/radio.
Right now at Wendy's, you can get a small Frosty for a buck. And literally everyone is going. The car behind you, going to get a dollar Frosty. The car ahead of you, already had one, going for a second. The person who cut you off earlier, you guessed it, dollar Frosty. Maybe it's all a sign for you to go get one. Just don't cut anyone off. No one likes that person. The iconic Frosty for a buck, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's, not valid in a combo. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, California, and via third-party delivery.
Power comes in many forms. The beloved power nap, the enviable power couple, the celebrated power hitter. But around here, Kohl's Cash is power. And if you earned it recently, it's time for your power trip to Kohl's. Will you redeem your Kohl's Cash on those Adidas sneakers you've been eyeing? Will you flex at the block party with that new ice cream maker? Will you replace your kids' favorite shorts because they outgrew them again? However you redeem your Kohl's Cash before it expires, more power to you. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's. Additional exclusions may apply.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend, Ron Say. And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 1982. And the franchise's second longest game in terms of innings, the Cubs lose to the Dodgers 2-1 in the 6-hour and 10-minute Wrigley Field contest played over 2 days. It ends with Dusty Baker, who was just honored at Dodger Stadium. It ends with his sacrifice fly that plates Steve Sachs, 21 innings to complete.
Boy, I remember that game, and that was a long game, and I think I got kicked out of that game.
Do tell.
And I was, you know, called out on a close play at first base, and, you know, the runner, the umpire is further down the line. And when he called me out, I raised my arms like, what? And I bumped him.
You can't do that.
No, I can't. You can't do that, but it was completely unintentional. And I didn't even realize I was that close to him. And he ends up throwing me out. And I'm saying, wait a minute. But it was, you know, I'm just arguing a call. But I didn't mean to, you know, put my hands on you. He said, doesn't matter. And then Lasorda comes out and he's saying, what are you doing? And I said, hey, I didn't do it intentionally. I didn't mean it. It just happened. And so now he's got to use, I guess I used maybe Fernando in the outfield because we were down to no players. 21 innings.
Yeah.
Come on. And so, yeah, I felt really bad about that. But God, I was, Jesus. All I did was throw my arms up and I'd brush the guy and you're out of here.
So the next time that you played and with that umpire in the same game, did you go over there and give him like a little bit of, hey, sorry about that, or is just move on?
I think it's pretty much back in those days, you know, I think we could actually talk to the umpires a little bit differently. You know, they're not walking around raging about, you know, somebody looking at them funny. They've taken it a bit too far. You know, and you know, I was talking to Bill Russell over this last weekend because we had alumni weekend, and I talked to him about the umpires and, you know, the strike zone in particular, and we were right about Angel Hernandez, and I won't go into that, but it's a much different game today. And and he also told me that, by the way, he says in Angel Hernandez's defense, he wasn't even close to being the worst.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he got a lot of attention on Instagram, and, you know, you saw how bad it was.
Yeah.
And it got a little bit too heated and got too much attention, and something had to be done. But yeah, he wanted to make sure to tell me that, he wasn't the worst one out.
No, that's a pretty low bar to clear. Let's talk a little bit about this controversies, specifically going on with Jordan Childs's bronze medal.
Yeah.
And she, of course, you know, is a fantastic athlete, and she was awarded the bronze medal in the women's gymnastics floor final. However, her medal was revoked following a dispute over the timing of a score inquiry submitted by her coach. Apparently, you have 60 seconds, 1 minute, to levy a complaint or a protest over the judging. And apparently, the Team USA coach signaled for the challenge, but it was not recognized until 64 seconds.
Right.
And so the IOC has revoked her medal and is demanding it back. However, Jordan Childs, to her credit, says, nah, I'm good, and pretty much fled back to the United States. And so should she return that medal, the physical medal, herself? I should note, too, that the litigation has started. Team USA has pretty much hired counsel and says they will pretty much fight this to the highest courts in the land.
I hate it when it comes down to these technicalities. You know, it's like, you know, you're supposed to recognize this. If you have it where you have, you know, like an instant replay where you're showing the guy raising his hand or whatever, and it's before the time elapsed, you're supposed to honor that. And if they can prove that, I would say that she's probably justified to keep her medal. But if they're ruling against it, they won't recognize it. They'll probably be forced to return it. But it sounds like we need to have a little bit more of an investigation. But if I'm home with it and I was awarded it and it's a technicality, then I'm probably going to hold on to it until otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna take it away from me, I'm going to enjoy it at least until the time that it happens, and I'm probably not going to agree with you if it's really seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, seriously?
Yeah,
is it the right call to make?
I don't think so. Not necessarily. You know, because this is about, you know, the Olympics. You know, as it might, some might be thinking.
I mean, is it going to change her score? I mean, was she right in having that score, rather than it being 4 seconds over the allotted time that was recognized in the moment?
Yeah.
I mean, is it more about the procedure? Is it more about the performance?
I think it's more about the procedure, because also there's been some reporting that the powers that be that would make that call on whether or not it was 4 seconds over or not,
right,
the judges in that point were actually a gentleman who works closely with the Romanian gymnastics team. And guess who got that medal? From Jordan Chiles is a Romanian female athlete.
I think that you spelled it out pretty well for me.
So congratulations, Jordan. I'm looking forward to seeing you run that.
You know what? As far as – you're a winner.
Yeah.
You're a winner.
Exactly.
No question about it. How about these people who still haven't seen the movie Icarus? I mean, what's going on over there? We still have athletes who think they can actually get away with doping.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's – if you're – yeah, I don't know the mentality that does that. See, okay, all the guys in pro sports that cheat with doping, it makes sense to me, because you – like we've talked about this before, you can make generational wealth.
Of course.
You can make enough money so you, not only your kids, but your kids' kids and your kids' kids' kids never have to work again in their lives.
Right.
For someone to dope in some of these, you know – for example, like in judo, you know, you're not going to necessarily make your livelihood in judo. Why would you need specifically a Japanese judoko who was favored for gold, tested positive for clean butyrol? What are you doing there?
I can't justify any of that, because it wasn't part of anything that I was involved with. Plus, a lot of these events are something that, you know, I'm not familiar with in terms of, you know, what does it really take?
Yeah.
I mean, how would that work in boxing? And yet we have boxers who doped.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work in cycling? We've seen that, right? The Tour de France. I mean, they're apparently all the stuff where Icarus came from, actually, everybody was pretty much doing the same thing.
You've had pretty much every former Tour de France winner after they retired admit to doping in some form.
Yeah, and it cost them, you know, pretty much big time. You know, they were heralded, beloved, and then they shrank.
Lance Armstrong, American hero. You remember all those yellow bracelets, and then, you know, he admitted that he was doping the whole time.
Unbeatable, you know, I don't know how many in a row, but now just
kind of a pariah.
Obliterated from that. The marathon, you know, there's tennis. There's like 10 sports,
soccer,
that had people caught doping. And I don't know. If I'm in the Olympics and I get caught doping, I don't think that bodes well for
people
not gonna
let you
in
back.
My country.
Yeah.
I mean, you've let everybody down. Your whole country knows that you cheated.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like your little league team over in the park that plays on the weekends. You know, this is the big time.
And this is also
the biggest stage ever.
Biggest stage ever. The whole world is watching. And gone are the days where the Olympics were kind of a measuring stick for also the status of the Cold War. Because you remember, you know, those Russian teams, those East German teams, those Czechoslovakian teams, because this is the world stage. And, you know, the Soviet bloc wanted to prove that they were competitive with the West. And so they'd shoot up all their athletes for full of horse tranquilizers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Long gone are those days.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take you back, back to the time, I think it's back probably in the 70s or 80s. you know, when we still had East Germany, West Germany, and USSR, and all these teams that they're competing in the Olympics, and you know they're blood doping. And I had a friend of mine who had many connections in track and field, was a chiropractor, and worked with many world-renowned athletes. And he somehow was able to catch on and be a coach or a consultant with the East Germans. Totally legit, everything fine. And after a period of training, when I saw him the next time, I think he was experimenting as well. And I'm not going to bring his name up, but it's just the idea of, my God, look at what happened. And you saw what it did to, you know, the East Germans are very competitive with the West Germans and the USSR, and it was pretty much the USA. And that time has changed, you know. And now, you know, Russia did not set a team. I guess they could have caught on somehow, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah, because of geopolitical concerns. And also they didn't want to let Russia into the games because of what's going on with Ukraine. But they could send them
that's
in a certain capacity.
It didn't bode well for them. But as you've seen, all those times have changed. As a matter of fact, I think Germany did pretty well, didn't they?
Yeah, I think Germany.
Olympics?
Yeah, Germany.
Japan, Australia, China. Italy.
Italy.
And South Korea and Great Britain did well. And the Netherlands. But France, I think, caught me a little bit by surprise.
Yeah.
I thought they did a terrific job, especially women in basketball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Men's and women's basketball.
You're at home, you know, the baguettes are warm from the oven.
Oh, yeah. Loved driving through France when I did. This was years ago. Got an opportunity to go with my wife, Fran. Drove 1,700 miles through France.
Wow.
A lot of it was in the country. And baguettes or cheese were always the order, always the order of the day.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left in the segment, Ron. Let's kind of look forward. So the Olympics are coming here. I mean, you and I both love the Olympics, and the next go round is going to be here in our home city of Los Angeles. What do you think it's going to do to the city, and what are your plans?
I really don't know. I mean, there's no way for me to predict it, but I really was kind of surprised at the handoff. You know, once again, it was. Mayor Karen Bass and Simone Biles, who may or may not be around. Tom Cruise, who probably will be around. He'll be doing another, one of those stunt shows flying in from somewhere.
I think he's going to land a space shuttle or something like that.
Whatever. But I think we will have a different look on the U.S. men's basketball team. I understand that baseball will be invited back in. I don't know how that's going to work exactly because that's going to take place in the middle of the summer. So it's going to be hard to understand what that roster might look like and who they are, where they're coming from. But it's exciting. The last time was 1984, right? And
both in 1984 and 1932, all the events were pretty much in the city. And now they just announced that there's going to be several venues out here in the Valley.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. And if you remember, we had a very successful swimmer on our podcast show, Nancy Hogshead, who won 3 gold medals. So a reminder to Nancy, once again, congratulations for those 3 gold medals in the Olympics. But I just thought it was a spectacular show. I'm glad Peacock did as well as they did. All the people who put the events together, thank you so much. It was a world event, and I think they did a fantastic job. Paris, congratulations.
Congratulations. And if anybody's looking to travel to Los Angeles for the 2028 Olympics, I have a couch you can stay on. It's $2,000 a night.
Okay. Very good. Better plan on doing that pretty quickly. And we'll be back right after this.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Campy, just fine.
Hey, say, how you doing it?
One game at a time.
Boy, that reminds me of spring training. That was such a cool time when I would hear one game at a time and playing a third base bag in the first inning in between innings. In our exhibition games in March. Yeah, good old times.
Good memories, huh?
Yeah.
Good
memories. Anyway, we are looking forward to next week. We have a special guest in Mickey Hatcher, one of the stuntmen from the 1988 World Champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Very, very good teammate and friend. I'm going to welcome him next week. I want to remind you that there's going to be another book signing at Rancho Cucamonga on August 24th, Saturday. And it's from 5:30 to 7:30. And the folks out at Rancho Cucamonga are waiting on our return. And so we're happy to go back there and do another stint with the book signing with Penguin Power. And please don't forget the website, The Ron Say Show, where the book is also available with multiple signings and a list of our ongoing podcast show with our guests and future guests as well. And don't forget the official Ron Say, the Instagram. And so anyway, we're looking forward to all of that. I hope that you all enjoyed the Paris Olympics as much as we did. And, kudos for Team USA.
Absolutely. And then we have the Winter Olympics, you know, coming up next in 2 years. So we can have a lot to talk about that. And, yeah. You know, I have to say that I really enjoy the Winter Olympics. I really enjoy some of the events, figure skating, you know, ice hockey, of course.
Well, we've had some great people. Look at Sean White and the lady skiers that we've had to bring in home so many gold medals for us.
Don't forget also a friend of the show, Mike Irizioni, who is a member of the 1980 Miracle on Ice, who was on this very show.
That's correct. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to having another great week next week with Mickey Hatcher. Please join us, and we will see you next time around.